Thank you so very much for being here tonight. What an honor, what a privilege it is for me to be here, to stand in this place and look out and to see so many people that I dearly love and appreciate. I have family here, people and friends from Gladstone when I preached there, from Wingate and from Woodson Chapel. I thought you people had learned by now, but evidently not. I tell you what, though, I do feel just a little bit tonight uncomfortable when I step up here. And I'll tell you why. The three preachers that I have to preach my funeral, all three of them are here tonight. I look back here and I see my preacher, Carl Sims. I see my good friend, Jerry Maxwell, back here, and my good friend, Faye Cornwell. And they're going to do my funeral and some of my pallbearers. Frank, if I pass out, try to revive me. This does not look good. I just tell you, it doesn't look good. But I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. We're involved in this gospel meeting and we're just talking about Jesus. This morning at 9 o'clock, we talked about Jesus is the answer to all of man's problems. And then at the morning worship, we talked about that Jesus is the only person that can make a real difference in our lives. And tonight I want us to think about, listen to the blood of Jesus. And tomorrow night, we're going to talk on, I believe in the one they call Jesus. And then as we bring this gospel meeting to a close on Tuesday night, the final lesson we're just going to talk about, hallelujah, what a Savior. So I hope that you're planning on being here. We had a tremendous attendance this morning, a good meal. I barely weighed over 100 pounds this morning. Tonight I weigh almost 200. I'm blaming that on you. I tell you what, great cooks are here, and I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I wanted to eat some of all of it, and I tried to do just exactly that. From the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, one verse of Scripture tonight for us to think about, and it's in verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than things than that of Abel. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and in verse 4, we read there where that Abel had offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God than his brother. And tonight I believe that there is a real message in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that when we stop and analyze and look and visualize, and for just a moment, I want all of us to go back 2,000 years. For just a few moments, I want us to imagine that every one of us in this room, that we're at the foot of the cross. And we can look up and we can see the Christ, the Savior of the world, as He hangs suspended between heaven and earth, and as He's about to die for the sins of mankind. Before that death, we hear that outcry, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Little did they know that the one that they had nailed to the cross, the one that they had scourged, the one that they had beaten, that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. The events had just taken place in that upper room Thursday night as Jesus met with His disciples. some part of that evening, Jesus arose from the table. He took a towel, He took water, and He began to wash the disciples' feet. But when He came to Peter, Peter said, "No, Lord, no, You're not going to wash my feet." But Jesus said, "Peter, if I cannot wash your feet, you cannot be one of mine." And Peter says, "Then wash me all over." As to say, more than anything in all of the world, I want to be one of yours. More than anything in all of the world, I want to be a follower of yours. More than anything, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that You have come to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. I want to be one of yours. Peter must have been taken back a little bit when Jesus said to him, "Peter, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And the events followed just as Jesus told him that they would. Jesus appears six times before the legislative groups of that day and time. And that sixth time He's back to Pilate. Pilate has Him scourged. His back looks as though it's raw hamburger meat from the abuse, from the beating that He takes. And then we go to Golgotha. We go to the foot of the cross. And we see the Savior of the world, the Son of God, there dying for your sins and for mine. Remember this morning I said, it was not Judas, even though he played a great part. It was not the Roman soldiers, even though they nailed Him to the cross. It was not Pilate who could have changed the matters. But it was sin. Your sins. My sins. That put Jesus on the cross. Listen. 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 From the cross. Suspended between heaven and earth. Hands outstretched. Back has been beaten. The blood of the cross has a message. And the blood of the cross tonight has a message for the world. That the world will never hear. The blood of the cross has a message tonight that says, I love you so much that I'm willing to endure everything possible to let you know that I'm dying for you so that you can live. So that you can live victoriously. In John the 12th chapter, down in verse 37, sometime in that week before that Thursday night, sometime between Tuesday and Wednesday, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And while in that upper room, while meeting with those men that for the last three and a half years that had watched Him as He raised the dead, caused the blind to see and the lame to walk, who had watched Him when He fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was there that Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." "And while I go, you know in the way." And Thomas said unto Him, "Lord, we don't know the way." And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." Christ's blood and the message from the cross. Remember, we're not at Woodbine tonight. We are at the foot of the cross. We're at Golgotha. We're at Calvary tonight. That's where we are. And we, like those of long ago, 2,000 years ago, we're looking up in amazement at this man called Jesus. And every now and then, there's some blood that comes from His hands. There's some blood that comes from His back. There's some blood that comes from where His feet are nailed to that cross. But listen, there's a message. There's a message in the blood. And what the blood says. And what we need tonight. You know, this thing about sin is not something that preachers have dreamed up so they'd have a job to preach against sin. It's something that's real. It's the real reason that Jesus went to the cross. It's the real reason that Jesus had to die. Let me tell you 3 things tonight, if time will permit, that the blood says. Listen. Listen as it splatters. Listen as it drips down. Listen as the Son of God dies for the sins that old Wendell Bird has committed and that you have committed. I told this morning in class, and I believe it with all my heart, had everybody in the world been perfect but me, God still would have sent His Son to have died just for me because He loves us so. The blood of Jesus says, it reveals God's love for mankind. I tell my wife, "I love you." I tell our daughter, "I love you." I've told several of you lately, and tonight and this morning, that I love you. And I mean it. But there's no way for me to love you or to even love my wife or daughter like Jesus Christ loves us. So the blood of Jesus reveals God's love for mankind. I'm going to be reading, but I want you just to listen. I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 5. I don't want you to turn. I want you to just listen. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us. And that while that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath through Him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Listen. Listen to the blood. And the blood says, I love you so much, I'm willing to send my Son. I'm willing to watch my Son be mocked, spat upon, beat, scourged, nailed to a cross, lifted up, dropped over into a hole. I'm willing from the portals of heaven to watch as He cries out and they give Him bitter gall. I'm willing to watch as the thief on one side say, if you are the Christ, if you are the Son of God, if you can do all that you said you could do, then you can take us down from this cross. And He watched and He listened as Jesus said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. That's how much Jesus loves us. That's how much the blood of the cross reveals to man that God loves every one of us. And the blood of Christ tells us the active participants in the love of God. What makes God love us? What causes God to love us? Why would God love us when we lie and cheat and steal and rob and rape? And how could God love me and forgive me and blot out and remember against me no more? Because He loves us so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, through His Son, through the Christ, might be saved. The blood of Jesus says, I love you so much. And I'm willing for the world of that day and time to crucify me so that man's sins might be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ manifests itself. It's made visible in our everyday walks of life. But from 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live, that we might live through Him. In this is love, John records. And then we are reconciled. In Romans 5 and verse 10 that I just read a moment ago, for if when we were enemies through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled. The word reconcile simply means made friends again. We've been made friends again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, listen. The blood says you were an enemy, but you've been made friends again. The blood of Jesus Christ says you have been justified in chapter 5 and in verse 9 of Romans. Justified simply means just as though I have never sinned. That's what it means. That's what the blood says tonight. Listen. Listen to the blood as it cries out to the world. The blood of Jesus says, I love you so much. God loves you so much. But there's a second thing that the blood says. And the second thing is simply this. The blood of Christ declares the sinfulness of mankind. It helps us to see that we're sinful. It helps us to see that there is a need for the Savior. It helps us to see that there was a need for Jesus going to the cross and dying, that our sins might be forgiven, blotted out, remembered against us no more. And I'm grateful for that. And I know that you are as well. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and in verse 6, God laid on Him the sins of us all. And then from 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 21, the great Apostle Paul says, For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. What a Savior. What a Savior tonight. And the writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 9 and in verse 28, So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. If we will commit our lives to the Christ, if we will give ourselves to Him, if we will obey His Word, then when Jesus Christ comes, He can say, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. As you well know from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, that sin will separate us from Almighty God. Sin will condemn man's soul. Sin will cause us to be lost. Sin will cause us to go to hell. Sin will cause Jesus Christ to say to us, Depart from me, I know ye not. Sin is a loser. But the blood of Jesus says, You win. You don't have to be a loser. The blood of Jesus, listen to it. Listen. It says, I love you so much, I'm dying for you. The blood of Jesus says, You're sinful. That's the reason my Father sent me. And there's a third thing that the blood says. And the blood says, You cannot go to heaven without it. The blood says, as modern as man cannot devise a way by which He can save himself. I've lived long enough to see man go to the moon. I've lived long enough to see the microwave come into existence. And cell phones. And copy machines. I'm grateful for all of those. Cars were already around when I came on the scene, and it's a good thing because I'm scared of horses. I'd have to walk or ride a bicycle everywhere I went if there were no cars. But I'm saying with all of the modern things that we have, and every day in the field of medicine, there's a new discovery. Every day something is happening in space. But with everything that man's been able to come up with, man has not been able to devise a way to save himself. There are miracle drugs. Matter of fact, man can fly faster than sound, but man cannot save himself. We need the blood of Jesus. And Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. How then tonight? How do I contact that blood? How does that blood affect me? Remember. Listen. Listen. That blood says, I love you so much. That blood says, you are a sinner. And that blood says, you can contact it. You can have it. Only through the obedience of Jesus Christ. In Acts the 22nd chapter, down in verse 16, relating the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Or from Matthew 26 and in verse 28, when Jesus was speaking about the Lord's Supper, and He said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission, for the forgiveness, for the blotting out of sins, for the remembrance no more. That's what that verse says. How powerful that verse is. And there from the book of Acts, chapter 2. There when they cried out and said, what must we do in order to be saved? And they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Tonight, what does the blood say to you? What does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you?